What's up, guys, and welcome to Hoop Talks at Homestand Studios. I'm your host, Noor Zainab, next to the J Unit, Jelani Goodridge Reed, and Justin Pooney. Today, we're going to look at the who else but the Raptors. They had pretty massive games against the Wizards this past weekend. So we'll talk about that. They split those two in Washington. And then tonight, unfortunately, they take on one of the best teams in the league in the Nuggets. And Nikola Jokic, the running MVP, the back to back MVP, and the favorite for MVP this year. Let's see how the Raptors can stop him. And if he actually is our MVP, we'll have a little conversation outside the Raptors tonight, too. But first things first, the Raptors had themselves quite a chore in Washington this past week, having two games on the road in the same spot, and they split those, you guys.
Yep.
Is that a good outcome in your eyes?
Well, it's kind of what we predicted, right? No, you predicted they'd go 2-0, right?
Two.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, who was wrong? Oh, okay, never mind.
Sorry for having blind faith.
Blind faith. I just want to put that out there at the beginning so it's open in the court of law.
Nobody cares.
But anyway, look, they didn't really gain any ground. They didn't really lose any ground. They kind of stayed where they are. They're still the ninth spot, right? Atlanta and them, they're still sitting Atlanta, Miami, and Brooklyn. Washington's still nipping at their heels. So they played much better on Saturday than did on Thursday. Yeah, Thursday, yeah. Nick Nurse called them out after the game for that lack of effort. That was a horrible effort they put out. They shot the ball terribly on Thursday, but I will give the Raptors credit. They came back on Saturday and played much better. They played with effort. Now, was there some defensive mishaps? Yes, but they got the W. They grinded it out, and I think that right there was the biggest key. They faced adversity, and they came out, and they got a much-needed win, which makes the game in the end of March against Washington here in Toronto so much bigger, because that controls the tiebreak situation.
Yeah.
Wow, some nice words from Justin today. But Jelani, for you though, what did you see in game two that the Raptors lacked in game one?
Well, in game one, again, the problems were there, like all over the place, right? And I felt like it was a pretty bad effort.
Yeah.
Game two, I saw that there were better looks. I think we made sure the offense was moving. I saw more movement. I saw better looks for these guys out there. And they were hitting on those open looks. They were hitting on, those shots that they needed. Obviously, down the stretch, Washington made it interesting. But I'm talking about, like, earlier on in the game, we had a groove. We were feeling better about themselves. And then I felt like that start helped us down the stretch, you know, in that third, the fourth. Yeah, that was a whole other thing. But the first three quarters, for sure. And then when you're talking about the other side, the defense, right? I think a lot of people gloss over defense. A lot of people just like to talk about offense and how, you know, that's the glamour spot in the sport. But defense wins championships. We know this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Defense wins you games. And I think that was the biggest reason why we won that game too, right? Because we came out and we made sure to bother these guys, right? 24 turnovers for Washington. Thank you very much. Can I interest you in that? Can I interest you in 14 steals? That is what gets you these wins. And when you're talking about the Raptors, okay, we've been talking about it all year. The Raptors have been struggling at, you know, defense, right?
Yeah.
And this is a team that is known for their defense under Nick Nurse, right? But same way, who's number one in the league in takeaways? Toronto. So that is something that you like to see, especially down the stretch when you're going to need to win these games. They're going to be close games, right? So I think that, and just the fact that we got 34 points off those turnovers, that was huge. That was the difference in that game. So I think the major thing was, yes, the open looks, we were capitalizing on those, but I think for sure it was the defense that showed up in the turnovers, that winning that turnover battle made us win the game.
And that's what's so frustrating about this team, is because you know they're able to play that defense, make those shots, play with each other, have that chemistry. So when you don't see it for a long period of time, you're like, I know you have it. So where did it go?
Mm-hmm.
And I think also the reason why we were contemplating moving guys like Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent Jr., who weren't able to provide us the way that they had been the years prior. But now you see them these two past games, right? Game one, whatever, let's just leave it up to chance. It is what it is. But Game two is where we saw Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent Jr. come through. Gary Trent Jr. off the bench had 26 points. That's such a massive ask for someone coming off the bench in limited minutes to do what he needs to do, but he does it, and he did it every single time. And then Fred VanVleet, let's obviously had a great night. You know, he was scoring, he was assisting, everything. Mm-hmm. But his defense on Bradley Beal in the fourth quarter was the key to everything. That's how the Raptors stopped them. That's where the defense started. And that's how we know Fred VanVleet to be, right? He's the guy who not only does everything on the offensive end, passes, whatever, but he defends the other team's best guard. And that's what we did. That's what got us the win. So does this now show you how important these two are to this Raptors team?
I think they're both extremely important to this Raptors team. And if this Raptors team wants to be that team that contends, I think you have to keep both of them, right? Because you just don't have... Who are you going to bring in to replace them, right? And I said last week, I said, look, I think Gary Trent should be starting over at OG Anunoby, right? OG Anunoby last night shot 2-for-11 from the field. 2-for-11. Again.
Yeah, but what happened on Thursday?
Yeah, but he had 26 points on Thursday.
I'm just saying.
Hey, I've seen too many games with OG Anunoby being passive. What happened in the game last week against the Cavs on Sunday?
But
I'm just
Gary
saying.
Gary Trent had 4 points on Thursday, so they both kind of switched up everything. But Can I finish what I'm trying to say here? Sure, go ahead.
Thank you. What I'm saying is this. When I see Gary Trent play, he brings something that OG Anunoby does not have. The ability to have instant offense and get the ball in the bucket. OG Anunoby cannot score the ball consistently enough, in my personal opinion, like Gary Trent Jr. Yes, OG's a better defender, but I think, and we don't... Another thing is OG's always... I'm going to harp back to this. He wants a bigger role. He wants to snap. Well, prove it. He hasn't been proving it to me enough. And I think when I look at Gary Trent and what I saw him on Saturday do, he took control of that game. He took that game over. He came... He played 30-plus minutes coming off the bench on Saturday. And I think a guy like that is critical for this team. I think that's why they didn't trade him, because they realized they want to keep him. As for Fred, that's the all-star Fred VanVleet we saw on Saturday night. 25 points, 10 assists, was absolutely exactly what the Raptors need. Shot back-to-back clutch three-pointers in overtime, and I think that right there is what propelled the Raptors to that victory. Right. And that's the type of Fred VanVleet the Raptors are going to need if they want to catch that sixth seed or stay in this play-in race properly. They're going to need Fred to put up 20-plus, be that floor general, and like you guys mentioned, play that really good defense on guys like Bradley Beal.
Right.
Okay. I don't really agree with you on the Gary Trent and OG Mark, because yeah, it makes sense that you had shooting coming off on Saturday. That definitely got you the win and helped the offensive part of it. But let's not forget, like, they pretty much swapped games. One guy showed up one night, the other guy didn't show up one night. And yeah, it helped that obviously they got the win that night, but Gary Trent also had guys contributing, right? Mm-hmm. You look at game one, not Pat Pascal and Fred VanVleet have 14 points, 13 points. No one came through whatsoever. It's pretty much just OG Anunoby. Can OG Anunoby win anything on his own? No, he can't. He has to defend and he has to score. Gary Trent that game had 4 points off the bench. But I think, may I finish now? Is it my turn now? Thank you. But I think for me, it shows me that what I said last week kind of ties in here, because it's based off of how do you utilize who's playing the best game that day? Because they're both good players. Exactly. About. Yeah. It's about, like, it's not about who's going to come off the bench. It's more so who gets the start. Because one guy's going to have to come off the bench. Mm-hmm. But who do you give the edge to in this spot? And who's playing better? Because when you have two guys who aren't consistent, you got to go with the one that's consistent that game. And that's what Nick Nurse did.
The other thing I will say is this. Gary Trent is available a lot more than OG Anunoby. OG Anunoby consistently is in and out of the lineup with injury. Gary Trent, he is in the lineup more consistently. That's another positive for Gary Trent.
Well, for me, last week we were talking about the who should start and who should stay on the bench as the sixth man, because Jakob's in the lineup. I said that I felt like OG should start and give me Gary off the bench. Yes, Thursday, it was a tough shooting night for Gary Trent Jr. We understand that, right? And that's where, you know, the questions of consistency are there, of course. But I felt like as a guy off the bench, he gives you that added juice, that added boost that you need. And that's what we saw on Saturday night. That's why I feel like if you're asking me as a sixth guy, and I know he's a capable starter for sure. And
absolutely,
he's obviously going to get his time with the starters, of course. But I feel like the Raptors, with the lack of a bench, they need a guy that I could pass the ball to and he could get me those points that I need down the stretch in games that are going to be close, obviously, as we move forward. So I think Gary, he proved my point, basically. On Saturday. Again, Thursday, whole other issue, whole other thing. OG was the one that showed up. We get that. But I think as a scorer, he was the X factor. He was the reason why we went on Saturday night, right? Because he gave you those points that we needed throughout the game to counter what Washington has. So I think Gary should come off the bench as a score, because I'd rather have a score off the bench.
For sure. The way else thing I will say is this, but going forward into next season, right?
Right.
They can't have both those guys still on the team, right?
Well, we'll see what happens. We don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know what's going to happen. But the way I see this roster going is there's going to have to be moves made where one, maybe that's Fred Leaf, right? Or whatever. But I just find it hard to believe that Gary Trent, OG Anunoby, either one of them would be okay. But either one of them will be okay going forward coming off the bench.
Well,
with guys that want bigger roles, are each one of them willing to take that sacrifice to come off the bench for a team like the Toronto Raptors? Are they willing to do that?
I think that comes down to the question of, do you want a bigger role or do you want to win? Like, if you want a bigger role, you go to a worse team where you have a bigger role. Or if you want to win, you go to a team that has you in a role, that where you have a specific spot to come through. And I think with this team, with the Raptors, we've seen a bunch of guys who are capable of being starters come off the bench. They've been okay with that. If you look at past when we had Norman Powell and Fred VanVleet, Norm came off the bench. He was almost in talks for being sixth man because he was so good coming off the bench. And as Gary Trent said, as Chohani, that you need some spice coming off the bench too, right? But let's forget about the team for now. Let's look at the coaching here too, because this is your team isn't just the players, it's the coach there as well. And I think it's most importantly, in a back-to-back series, when you're playing the same team, that's where the coach has to shine, because the first game will be the players. We'll see how well they can play, what their matchup is like, how they fare against the other team. But game two is where the coach has to come in, because now you have a series. Now you have in front of you what your game plan should be. How do you come back and adjust? How do you learn from game one into game two? We won. That was great, thank God. But there were moments where I was wondering what Nick Nurse was thinking with his lineups. I saw Thad Young playing five, but Jakob Poeltl was at 20 minutes on the bench. You know what? That's fine. You don't want to play Jakob Poeltl? No problem. Why Thad when you have Precious Achiuwa and Chris Boucher chilling on the bench? Answer me, guys.
I think Nick Nurse trying to find the right chemistry with his lineup.
But isn't this too late in the season now to be figuring out these things?
I think as we get, you want to play for that play-in or playoff, whatever. So I think he wants to figure out who can I look to aside from, because I know what I'm going to get out of Jakob, right?
Yeah.
And I know what I'm going to get out of Precious and Chris. So I have to see, is that somebody that's going to fit in that rotation, that 8-man, 9-man rotation as we move forward? And personally, I think Thad, he's got to play a bit better, of course, right? I'm just going to say that right now. I think the defense, he's lacked in that area. And obviously, offensively, the reason why we brought him in, we remember those Chicago days long time ago. He was a capable playmaker as a big, and he could dish it out. He could get those tough buckets. So I'm not going to expect a lot of minutes from Thad, but when he's out there, I expect more than what he's provided as of late. But I just think that Nick wants to see what he has with the rest of the guys. He knows what he's going to get from the guys he's going to, you know, run to the ground with 40 minutes or whatever. So I just think that's what he was trying to explore. And, real quick, it was the second game against Washington. So you want to give them a different look. You know what I mean? So I think that Wes Unseld Jr., he understood what, you know, the Raptors did in game one. So Nick was trying to, you know, do something different in the second game.
Yeah, I see the purples there, but I think my only issue with that is you're so late into the season now. You know exactly how important each game is, especially these two games where you had the Wizards right behind you trailing the entire standing. So you know how important these things are. There was no obvious that you were going to win game two against the Wizards. We could have lost this game as easily as we could have lost game one, right? So it's like, at this point, is this the time to be experimenting? Isn't this not the time to stick with what's working for you? And I get, like, I think you make a good point there where it's like you want to throw the scent off from the other team to be like, well, you saw us in game one, look at this other thing I'm going to be doing for you. But I think because it was such an out of pocket answer to have Thad Young go for five, where I was like, how does this even work out? But we'll see if Nick Nurse can turn it around tonight, because his task will be a hefty one. You're taking on Mr. Nikola Jokic in Denver, Colorado, one of the hardest places to play basketball. These guys also, I believe, are 24-4 at home or something along those lines.
29-4.
29-4. Raptors are 12-20 on the road. So how do they stop Nikola Jokic tonight?
You can't stop Nikola Jokic. Players like that at that MVP level, you can't stop a guy like that whatsoever. You can try to make his life hard, right? Try to make him really work extra hard for that 25, 10 and 10 or whatever, 11, right? But you're not going to stop him. There's no way you're going to stop a guy like that. It's the other players. Can you make Jamal Murray's life hard? Can you make There are other players. Aaron Gordon, can you stop them and put it all on Nikola Jokic, right? Because he's going to need some help. He's not going to score 120 points a night himself, right? That, to me, is the biggest thing. Because I think Nikola Jokic established himself as one of the best players of this generation. He's going to get his no matter what. Yeah, yeah. It's the rest of the players you got to worry
about. Yeah, he stole my thunder. I think you got to find a way to limit the other guys.
But how do you feel about Poeltl on Jokic tonight?
Again, you asked, how can you stop Joker? You cannot stop Joker. So we're going to find out. We're going to find out what Jakob Poeltl is made of tonight, okay, on the defensive side. And the other thing is, please do not allow him to get a triple-double. You know why? Undefeated in that area.
He's averaging a triple-double right now on this season. So every time he gets one. This is why he's the best. But, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a weapon on our disposal tonight, actually. Mr. Will Barton used to play with
Will
the
Barton, the weapon?
Nuggets.
Yeah, yes.
Do you want me to wait till I finish? Thank you. He used to play with the Nuggets for 7 years. So if anyone has any kind of recipe, any kind of journaling to do on the team, it's going to be Will Barton. So what is his impact going to be tonight against his former team?
It's shooting. I think that's the biggest thing. That talking about juice off the bench with Gary Trent Jr., I want to see, again, that juice from Will Barton coming off the bench. Can he, you know, make some big shots? Can he kind of come off and provide that instant offense? That's what I want. Because the Raptors are going to need as much offense as they can get against the Denver Nuggets tonight. I want, again, Will Barton was born to be that vet to come off the bench. And again, we saw Nick Nurse playing Thad Young at the five. To piggyback off of that, he's probably going to play Will Barton to see what he can do. Yeah. How far can he push Will Barton? And that's what we're going to see.
Yeah, these are like playoff
games. I'm sure he's in the locker room telling people, okay, Jokic likes to do this.
Yeah, of course. There's going to be intel because he knows what's going on over there in Denver, right? Or, you know, still has a few things to tell Nick about, okay, watch out for this, watch out for that. But
and
yeah,
he used to play in the postseason for them, so he understands the team really well.
I think it's, you know, we brought him in, obviously, for that leadership factor. Mm-hmm. And I think so far, you're not going to expect him to score so many points, you know, when talking about the scoring. Right now, it's going to be a lot about energy. Just give us some energy off the bench that we need. And then as we go forward, as he gets more comfortable in this lineup, that's when the scoring is going to be there. That's when he's going to hit those big shots, because Will the Thrill is capable of doing that.
Will the Thrill. Well, you guys mentioned Nikola Jokic is averaging a triple-double right now on the... You guys good? You guys done? Thank you.
I don't know if
he's averaging a triple-double right now on the season. 24.5 points, almost 12 rebounds, 10 dimes. And according to FanDuel, he is... not just a leader, but like a clear-cut leader in MVP odds right now. He's minus 360. The next guy up, Giannis, plus 700. That's quite the mountain to climb for anybody else coming up, because after him, it's Embiid at plus 700 as well. Then Tatum at plus 3,000. And Doncic at plus 4,100. So, guys, is Nikola Jokic easily your three-time MVP this year?
Yes. Yes.
Look, so attitude.
Watch this. So preseason pick was Giannis. That was my pick.
My pick.
However, comma in space, earlier on the year, within the first 2 months, I said, oh man, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Because I felt like Nikola Jokic was going to win the MVP. We said this on Three in the Key podcast. I was talking about how Jokic is playing up to that standard, up to that level, which an MVP plays like. Right. And this year, the Nuggets are playing better. They're winning games. If you're looking at the fact that those triple doubles, again, the 25 triple doubles, they have not lost. You know how hard, first of all, it is to get a triple double?
Just ask Russell Westbrook.
Okay. Yeah. For real. So you're talking about that. You're talking about the win shares are there with him per 48 minutes. You're looking at, you know, the best win shares per 48 ever. All those guys have won MVP. All of them. If you want to talk about the LeBron MVPs, Michael Jordan's, Wilt, I could give you Kareem and all that stuff. Even recently, Giannis. And Jokic, too. Okay, so you're talking about that. I just think the numbers are up, right? The field goal shooting's up. The three-point shooting is up.
But is he stat padding, though?
Well, Kendrick Perkins wants to allude to the fact that he's stat padding. I'm sorry, Perk. I don't like that take. He's not. All right? I don't want to hear that. All right? So I think, Jokic to me... he's the MVP, the rightful MVP. And I don't want to hear discourse about, Jokic, he's not from here. Why is he the MVP? I'm seeing a lot of people try to knock him this year. And you know why? Because he's not an American player.
Really?
Yeah, I've not seen that discourse.
I've not seen a discourse.
I've seen that discourse. And I think it's ludicrious. I think it's terrible. Okay, because
I have a solution for this. I say all non-American players in the league, all you non-American guys out there, the Jokic, the Lucas, the Giannis, the Embiid, everybody out there, come to Toronto.
They are not going to do
what? Bro, like,
how is that a solution?
The whole point is the American media is against them. The Toronto, come to a Toronto even, team, they, a Canadian many, team. You yeah. get you come to be a part of a team that's not in the American media. Now you're the North, okay? And exactly you North. Come together. We make a Marvel alliance, like the Avengers or something. You know, you bring in all the international players.
It's not going to work because the thing is, the American media doesn't even talk about the Raptors.
Exactly.
But they'll have to.
Even when Kawhi was here, they failed to like give us the praise. Hey. Remember?
No, we got too much.
No, but remember though, the Bucks, they were still all over the Bucks because Giannis got MVP mm-hmm. that year. So they were talking about, you know, Bucks. And then the Sixers, because that was a great team.
That was a juggernaut right? Sixers team.
Even though the Raptors were balling that year, mm-hmm. the Sixers and Bucks got way more praise than the Raptors.
The finals, people still thought they were going to lose
Stephen
in the finals.
Stephen A, remember Stephen yes. A? He never took the Raptors in like any series, I swear. Yes. Every game, Sixers.
But at that point, though, the Raptors have built the reputation of like, oh, we'll see know. If it's, they can actually do anything it's this tough. Year. So I get it. I see how yeah. it is.
Jokic's MVP.
But real quick, guys. So tonight, the Raptors play Jokic. They play the Nuggets at home. As we said, they're almost pretty much unbeatable. Only lost 4 games. The Raptors are not that great of a road tour team right now. But a lot is lying on these games. Anything that's coming up. The next 3 games against the Denver Nuggets, the LA Lakers, the and then the Clippers as well, right?
Clippers so are on Wednesday.
They all matter quite a bit. Can the Raptors get this victory tonight?
No.
Can you like breathe for a second? Oh. Let it
well, I think the Raptors will cover the spread. It's like what 7.5? The Raptors will cover the spread, but they're not gonna win tonight in Denver. Come
that was
on.
That was an immediate no.
Well, come on,
as for Jelani Goodrich Reed, I must say no. I have to say
that
no.
Is respectful, you know,
but,
though.
But you know, yeah, a respectful one.
Thank you, Jelani.
Respectful risk.
The
but
truth
I
hurts.
The thing is, the Nuggets are so good at home. That's the problem. Yeah. They do not lose at home.
It's a mile high
and,
city.
Yeah, and also
the altitude.
If you're talking about, again, just going back to that triple-double factor, mm-hmm. this guy, Nikola Jokic, the other reason why he should be MVP, the last 10 times he's gotten a triple-double at home, which is a record, they've won all of them. Like, that's the problem. So hopefully we find a way to limit him. That's like impossible, but I'm also looking at the fact they haven't. You know when the last time they lost at home was? You want to guess?
No.
You want to guess like a date range?
November? January the 3rd.
November?
It was December 6th. Okay. Close. You know how long ago that was? So that is an issue for me. That's a problem.
I will say this too. You're also not playing the Washington Wizards tonight. You're playing the Denver Nuggets, the best team in the Western. Better players, better efficiency. You got the MVP favorite, and you got better coaching, right? It's a better team, and they struggled bits and pieces against the Wizards. They're playing much better competition now. How are they going to stack up to that? And
that's why you got to look at the best players on the team, Mr. Pascal Siakam. I'm looking at you, directly at you. Tonight is where you have to come and shine. Pretty much the past 2 games against the Wizards, you had it a little bit easy. You had other guys come up. You didn't have to be the guy there. But tonight, it has to be Pascal Siakam night. There's nobody else who can really come through, right? If you have the best player on the other team coming through offensively, your best player on your team has to come through. At least give a fight in some way. Can't be the sixth man coming off the bench giving you 26 points at all. But hopefully that brings some level of motivation to this team. Hopefully we get something out of it tonight. But as we said, the Raptors are having pretty much a terrible road trip. They have the hardest schedule remaining in the league right now. And they're trying to climb those rankings. They're at 9th currently. They're trying to go over the Nets, trying to go over the Knicks, trying to go over the Miami Heat. But the Knicks look really good right now, too.
Knicks are getting secure.
The Knicks might be jumping before we even get
I'm just worried about, like, can we find a way to get to 8th? Like, do baby steps, okay? Let's get to 8, get to
7. Pass Atlanta, try to pass Miami.
So that's why tonight's going to be huge.
So next 3 games, we have Nuggets, we have Clippers, we have Lakers. Yeah. You guys think we get one of them?
Yeah. I think we get the Lakers.
If Anthony Davis is playing the way he played yesterday, I don't know.
Yeah, but we've been playing the Lakers well.
I say they finish 1-2 in these 3 games.
All right, guys, we'll see tonight. The Raptors play the Nuggets, and then they have the 2 LA teams, and they got to win pretty much at least one. And we'll see you next time.